World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm feeling it this morning. Thanks for joining me here. I want all of you out there to know this. Listen to this. Nobody owns me, okay? Nobody owns me. I don't know if you guys notice this or not. We don't have any commercials. There's no commercials. I come in and I say, well, I want to, and I don't have to worry about offending some sponsor or anything like that. Coach Dave Live continues every day based on folks like you sending $50 a month, $25 a month. You keep this thing going. I don't have to bow or bend to anybody or kiss anybody's butt by saying something that's going to offend them. If you get offended, then leave, and you leave. But I want just to make sure everybody out there understands I ain't nobody's pocket here. It's just me in my basement in my multi-million-dollar studio trying to tell you the truth as I see it. Okay, that's where it is. And so if you're wondering behind the scenes who's controlling them, ain't nobody. I'm just telling you, ain't nobody. So welcome, because I'm going to dig into some stuff today that's probably going to make some of you mad. And I told my wife, I love my wife so much. When I came down, I said, well, here we go. Here we go. Because why? Well, some of you are probably going to leave. But here's what I want to do at Coach Dave Live. Remember, our theme is what? Who told you that and why should you believe them? Who told you that and why should you believe them? And there's a million things I could talk about, but some things that I think are really, really important. So I want to tell you this. You don't want to go away. In fact, I would tell you this. You ought to text somebody. Email somebody right now and say, turn on, because I'm just telling you, okay? We'll give you a minute to do that. Two things I need you to do. Number one thing, I said yesterday, if you live in Ohio, it was 2 days ago, please send us your email. If you live in Ohio, please send me your email. And look, you can put it in the chat. That doesn't really help me. I can dig them out, but it's hard. I just want you to email me at ptsalt@gmail.com, ptsalt@gmail.com, and say, here's my, if you live in Ohio, because we're trying to get a little bit better organized here in Ohio. And we don't even, it's good that people in New Jersey and people in California, that's good. But we're trying to find the people in Ohio. And we're not going to try to turn you into a cult or make you do something, but when we have things going on, we want to be able to let you know what's going on. We're not going to bug you. We're not going to bug you for money, none of that stuff. But we need a ready list of people that when something's going on, we can send it to. And right now, we don't have that. So if you live in Ohio, please email me your email address. That's all you got to do. I'm not going to bug you with a bunch of emails. And that email, again, was ptsalt, like pass the salt, ptsalt@gmail.com. ptsalt@gmail.com. Now, I got other emails, but for some reason, they don't all seem to work. So do that for me, please. Do that for me. David Arthur's mom's in the hospital. Praise the Lord. They finally got her into the hospital. We're praying for your mom, Dave. And I just, again, with all the crazy, sinful things you've done, crazy stuff, I honor the way you honored your mom. I want everybody to know that. And you've been a real faithful son to your mother. So God bless you on that one, Dave. I'm looking up here. I got to show you this one. Pull up number one. Hey, we're going to go someplace today, and some of you ain't going to like it. Look at this. Dave Allison sent me this. This is his son from 2014. Look, folks, we could be so creative. We could be so creative in Christianity if we thought of it. So this is David Allison's son from 2014, which if I did my math, if I didn't cheat in addition, that would be like 11 years ago. Would that be 11 years ago? It's only a minute, 12 seconds. Dave Allison's son, Wes. Listen to this creative ministry. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Wes, and we provide hope to our community by keeping their cars on the road.
Car repair.
A single mother came in with her three children, and she said, I have an oil leak in my van. And it's a very common thing that we hear, I have an oil leak. But by the time I pulled it from the parking lot into the garage, we discovered that it was more of an oil gusher, oil fountain. And I unfortunately had to go and tell her that her car was not serviceable. We had to condemn the vehicle. And as soon as I walked in the office and told her that, she just immediately broke down in tears and just, just went in kind of in a state of crisis of just, what am I going to do? And at that point in time, I said, well, would you come out in the parking lot? And we had a few vans ready to go. And so I walked out in the parking lot and showed her the two vans. And I just said, you and your family can pick either one of these and they're yours. And just to see that mother go from just tears of just, I'm just concerned of what am I going to do to just tears of just hope and joy. So that's probably one of my favorite stories.
Wow, huh? Wow. And I want you to think about this. And again, Michelle said to me this morning, honey, say the same thing over and over and over. I want to ask you this. Do you really believe in today's modern Christian environment, is the church a storehouse for people who go there that need help? Is it really? Could you go to your church and have them raise some money for you to get a car or a car repair or whatever it might be? The financial pressure that people are under, including the church, I understand all that. But to see a guy do something like this, what? Yeah, fix cars? You mean you're going to fix cars? You're going to start a ministry fixing cars? Are you kidding me? Hey, Dave Allison, come in here a little bit and talk about that, because this really struck me today. Wow. Think of all the things that you could be doing, all of us now. You're looking for a ministry? Let your mind go wild of the things that you could be. And here's my experience. If you wait for funding, you'll wait forever. The funding follows the ministry. Let me say that again. The funding follows the ministry. In other words, you start the ministry, the money comes. If you're waiting to get the money to do it, no, because you see something like this and say, man, I want to build into that. I want to build into that. Transform lives. Yeah, I want to do that. I've got a school bus ministry. I've got a ministry to the homeless. I got a ministry to alcoholics. I've got you. What kind of ministry do you have? That's what we try to do here. Really, that's what we try to do here. Help other people. Help you. Look. Oh, well, I get bogged down. David Ark is in here now. David, we saw your mom made it into the hospital. Glad about that. And just give us a real brief update what's going on there. And David, I said this before you came in. I honor, of all the stupid, wicked things you've done, I honor the way that you've honored your mother. I want you to know that.
Thank you. Because
most of us don't. Most of us wouldn't do what you're doing. And I just want to say that. How's she doing? She went in the hospital, right?
No, she. We go to the neurosurgery tomorrow. But we've been like battling with the insurance to get a hospital bed because she's been sleeping in a recliner, and they kept denying it and denying it and denying it. So we thought we got the final denial, and so I was thinking about putting together like a campaign or something, and I sent out an email and just letting everybody know where we're at, and everyone that messaged me back said, we're interceding right now. And then that was morning and early afternoon. And then by late afternoon, I get a call from the medical supply place and say, your hospital bed's been approved. When can we come and bring it and set it up? And so I was just like, praise God. I mean, that's the only,
So the hospital bed's coming to you. You're not going in the hospital. The hospital bed's coming to you. Is that what you're saying,
yes,
Dave?
Yeah. So she can sleep more comfortably. She's in a brace now. When we went to the emergency room last week, they put her in a brace because they were surprised. Other doctors and they were surprised that they hadn't put her in a brace, knowing that she has such a severe fracture in the spine. And so tomorrow we go to neurosurgery. We find out what the next steps are, and it's all in His hands. So
prayer works. Prayer works, Anna Dave. And here's the truth of the matter is. If she was an illegal
animal, amen. Targeted prayer especially works. Pardon?
If she's an illegal immigrant, she'd already had that bed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's even said that a few times.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. Oh, man. Anybody for the good of the group here? Look, I got somewhere I want to go, but sometimes I know you guys got something that you want to announce or do. Come on Coach, in if you do.
Yeah. Coach, you want me to I'll expound a little bit on that video you just
played. I'm sorry, David. Yes, go ahead, please.
No problem. What happened is, real quick, I'll try to tell this quick. I taught my son basic auto mechanics from the start, right from early on. Well, he moved to Midland, Michigan. He was at a large church, and people in the church, they needed brakes done, and the car was breaking. So he was constantly helping people in the church. He also was a part-time music minister at this church, but he still had a full-time job. Anyways, to make a long story short, so now the pastor's noticing that he's getting this reputation in the church of helping people fix cars. Well, then he goes to the local community, and all the pastors say the biggest travesty young couples have is when the car breaks down, it's a deal breaker, right? It's boom, it puts them out of business. Then he goes to Delta College. They teach auto mechanics there, but the professor tells him, well, we got a problem. We have people here training how to do auto mechanics, but they've had a bump with the law and they got a felony on their record. They can't get a job when they get out of college. So the pastor says, hey, I think I see something coming together here. They built a six bay, a full fledged. They did everything, rebuild engines. They did everything. And he hired my son to run that. And then they also hired a full fledged mechanic that was the master mechanic, could do anything, right? And so then they sent him to school. He became a certified mechanic. He did all this stuff. But here's the cool thing, Coach. So this is up and still running to this day. It started, I think, in 2013. That kid ran that for 6-7 years. He learned a lot. But here the pastor realized they could reach the world, or not the community, reach the community by just helping them. And it's been such a wonderful outreach to families. And it's just been an amazing ministry that they've had. So thanks for sharing that. And we're really sure he wants, she played a big part in that as well. That's just not all.
That's right, Coach. I gave birth to that 11-pound boy.
he could have been a linebacker, or he could have been a lineman. You know, he's 6'5", goes 350, but he's
Jerry got a survived big part. That birth? Jerry survived that birth?
Man, that
I did. All natural, baby.
Anyways, but thanks for sharing that. And it is a blessing, but it just shows you create and do outreaches in the community. Thanks.
So we want to encourage you folks to do individual ministry. You don't need the church. You don't need your pastor's approval. Whatever the Lord has called you to do, do. And if we had time and I went down here, probably the little individual ministries that have been launched out of this gathering here, we would probably all be amazed of it. Most people are just kind of doing stuff and not really telling anybody about it. But this is what the body's supposed to do, isn't it? Isn't this what the body of Christ is supposed to do? Is this serving the Lord? Huh? Isn't this the real church? I think it is. I think Jeff Klein, come on in. Don't go away, because I'm going to get rugged here in a minute. Go ahead, Jeff.
Going to go up and visit Pastor Matt this morning. He's back in the hospital, so just ask him prayer for him. He's just been going through this for about a year. These doctors and hospitals can't fix him. They don't even know what's wrong with him. All these tests, probably been in the hospital 8 or 9 times in the last 2 months. 2 or 3 of them are squad runs. Now he went in last night. Blood pressure's up again, and they keep changing stuff, trying this. Can't find nothing with CAT scan. Side of his face was drooping last night. So he's up there in KCH. Just pray for Pastor Matt.
Let the Lord just touch Pastor Matt. Let the healing is the children's bread, Lord. Is healing in Jesus' name. You know, a lot of our sickness is self-imposed. You know that, don't you? Things we eat, things we do, all of it. And so, we can pray to the Lord for healing and all that stuff. Well, change your behaviors, man. Stop doing what you do. Now, it's consequences. I get it. I don't want to get bogged down in that. Amen. Can I tell you the truth here this morning? Is it okay if I tell you the truth? Let's go right. Go to number 3. Get number 3 ready. I want to talk to you today about Rob Reiner. I want you to know something else. Are you looking at me? Donald Trump is not a Christian. He's not a Christian. I think he would want to be. He doesn't understand it. And so at what point are we going to come to the realization that this is not a Christian man? He doesn't understand what it means to be a Christian. He has not been born again. He maybe has a form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. And why are we, talking about all of us now, expecting him to be more Christian than the people we go to church with, right? So Rob Reiner dies. Rob Reiner dies, and Trump, sometimes I wonder what the guy's doing. He doesn't follow all this, right? So he posts this after Rob Reiner dies. A very sad thing happened last night in Hollywood. Rob Reiner, a tortured and struggling, but once very talented movie director and comedy star, has passed away. Time out a minute. Would everybody agree that he's a tortured, struggling former? Would you guys agree with me that Rob Reiner was tortured, struggling in his spiritual walk and the way that he viewed things? I think he was, but okay. Let me get back in. He has passed away together with his wife, Michelle, reportedly due to the anger he caused others through his massive, unyielding, incurable affection with a mind-crippling disease known as Trump Derangement Syndrome, sometimes referred to as TDS. Trump always makes everything about him. He always makes everything about him, right? But we would agree. Now, come on, sit still a minute. We would agree. Someone right in that house, that a son would come in and kill both mom and dad. The rage, we can't even imagine what the rage might have been, what would cause him to do that, that scene, what that would be like to have, as I saw, I'm sorry for being graphic, your throat slit by your son. He was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession. See, Trump always makes it about him. Right? But here's why Trump got in trouble. Because he didn't take the Christian perspective that, oh, it's such a tragedy. Well, it is such a tragedy. But what is the tragedy, my friends? The tragedy isn't that Rob Reiner was murdered by his own son, as horrific as that is. That's not the tragedy. The tragedy is Rob Reiner passed into eternity without Christ. That's the tragedy. Amen. And see, even the church loses sight of this. Donald Trump is not a Christian man. He doesn't understand it, right? Now, look, he does say down the bottom, may Rob and Michelle rest in peace. He does say that. Okay, now hang on. This is not to defend Trump. Stop it. Because I'm going to tell you, some of you have Trump derangement syndrome as well. Some of you do. Christian Trump derangement syndrome. I'm going to say this again. Quit acting like expecting Donald Trump to be a Christian. He isn't one. All right? He isn't one. Quit asking him to act like one. He isn't one. Okay? Now, I'm going to take you someplace. Stay here a minute. So there's a statement, right? But Spencer, pull up number 4 real quick. What should be our reaction to the death of the wicked? Would anybody out there, hang on, go make you nervous, What's wicked? But pull up number 7. Pull up number 6 or number 7. Well, stay right there, man. There's a good one. There's Proverbs 11:10. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. What? How many people mourned the death of Charles Manson? How many people mourned the death of, what was that guy's name? Killed people and then ate them. Jeffrey Dahmer. How many people grieved over the death of Jeffrey Dahmer? See, we don't understand wickedness. Wickedness. Apart from Christ, we're all wicked. And I just happened to Google this morning, wicked. Wicked. Let me, hey, stop. Look at me. I grieve for Rob Reiner that he's not in the presence of our Lord. I grieve for Rob Reiner that whatever happened in that family, that his own son would cut his throat. I grieve for that. My friends, what is the reward of the wicked? What is the reward of the wicked? Time out a minute. What makes someone wicked? Proverbs 11 says, when a wicked man dies. So evidently, there are wicked men. Evidently, there are wicked men. When a wicked man dies, his expectations will perish, and the hope of strong men perishes. Then he said again, I will go away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I'm going, you cannot come. So we have to stop and ask, identify ourselves. Because here's what they try to do. This is hard for me to try to pull this together. Because I talked about it yesterday. They want to force you to live up to your own biblical standards. Hey, David Arthur, did anybody mourn when Charlie Manson? They didn't put him to death. Death penalty, by the way, is in the Bible. It's in the Bible. Did anybody mourn over that? No.
Probably not, Coach, but you know what? When they had the school shootings and, you know, all the things in my Christian lifetime,
right?
I've mourned for those perpetrators. You know, someone made a comment not that long ago about let the bodies drop, because those types of people are, you know, unsalvageable. But those are the ones that I mourn for. I mourn for them because not only was I a victim of them, but I was a victimizer or an agent for them. And so I guess if you haven't really been that deep in that mud cesspool, then you could never understand it. But we should be mourning for them because they are being completely severed from everlasting life. And that should be our goal every single day, is to push forward.
Okay, so I agree with that. Here's where it's going to get touchy, David. Here's what Rob Reiner did not believe in Jesus. He was not a Christian. He promoted non-Christian ethics, beliefs, whatever. Just a question. Why should Christians mourn his death? Now, look. I mourn the fact he didn't receive Christ. Oh, my goodness. What was tormenting that guy that his own son would kill him? By the way, I don't know if you saw this. His own son was getting ready to go transgender. Can you imagine the wickedness? An open atheist, Rob Reiner, open atheist. Can you imagine the spirits must be surrounding that guy? And I tried in my own mind to think, what would it be like for our son to come in and cut my throat, cut my wife's throat? What type of wickedness and evil is there? And Rob evidently raised his son in a, I'm guessing, an atheistic environment. I don't know. So the question that I think Christians, we need to ask ourselves. Wow, see, I'm swimming upstream here. Aren't we supposed to rejoice in the death of the wicked? Not eternal. Folks, no, don't read it wrong. Don't read it wrong. Was Rob Reiner and what he was teaching and promoting, was it wicked? Did he drive people to Christ or away from Christ? Not politics. I'm not talking about politics and whether you like Trump or didn't like Trump. Rob Reiner, all in the family, we grew up with that guy, an open atheist, given a platform in Hollywood. Is that good or bad? And apart from his own mortal soul, dead, should we rejoice? And that's not the right word, rejoice. Nobody rejoices in the death. Nobody rejoices in it. Think of this. How many people, that philosophy that Rob Reiner held, how many people did that lead down the wrong path? And Rob Reiner had the opportunity, like you and I, to receive Christ, the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ. He had every opportunity to do that. Open atheist. Not about whether he liked Trump or hated Trump. It got anything to do with that. Spewing atheism. Should all of Christendom now feel sorry that he died? I got a lot of, huh? Pull up number 9. No, pull up number 10. Pull up number 10. I feel some of you bubbling. Got a question for you. Think everybody rejoiced in the death of Hitler? Let that sink in a minute. Did the church get all out of flummox? Oh, poor Hitler. Why? Well, I know he was bad, but what? Or did the church say, you know, he got what he deserves? By the way, tomorrow's promised to no man. So wherever you are and whatever you're sitting there now, dude, there's a day coming and you're going to stand before the Lord. And it don't matter what your philosophy was here on the earth. Did you receive Christ as your Savior? Were you born again, filled with the Spirit of God? And did you use your entire life spreading that word, which is what we're supposed to do? Our whole life is supposed to be advancing the kingdom of God. And Rob Reiner was advancing a different kingdom. Was he not? So maybe I'm missing something. Was he advancing an earthly kingdom? And now all of a sudden they come along and say to us, I am not rejoicing in the death of Rob Reiner. But that wicked voice is no longer impacting the innocent. That's kind of fun. Anybody think I'm cold-hearted? How many people follow that atheistic philosophy and end up in hell? How many do? And then when we stand up and say, thank God that voice is gone. I'm sorry Rob Reiner's in hell. I'm sorry he's in hell. But thank God that voice is gone. Somebody give me a thumbs up. Say, I'm with you, coach. I'm with you, coach. And see, they tell all of us, all of Christianity, that we're supposed to feel sorry for him. And then it all, and I do feel sorry for him. But I'm going to tell you this. He ain't going to influence anybody wickedly anymore. He was an atheist who hate Christ, hated Christianity, in his own words. And then why are Christians supposed to be sad that he passed? I'm sad. I grieve. He didn't know Jesus. Do we grieve? Would you grieve if somebody was caught raping little boys, 12 little boys, and then they convicted him and put him to death? Would you grieve over that? Most people wouldn't grieve over that. You'd say that's justice. Well, how many minds are being poisoned by atheists in our society? When the Bible said it would be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw you into the deepest part of the ocean than mislead even one of these little ones who believe in me. I'm sorry, Rob Reiner did not know Jesus, did not receive Christ. I grieve for him. I grieve for his family. But am I supposed to grieve that poison that he spewed is no longer being spewed? See, Christianity, we're confused, folks. We're confused. Does Christ have enemies? Does Christ have enemies? I feel like I'm digging myself a hole. I don't know if you guys are picking up where I'm going. I'm picking up where I'm going. Are you picking it up? I'm sorry he died without Christ. But it's good that atheistic voice is gone. How do we balance those two things? Help me out, David Arthur. Help me out. And then
I don't grieve that they go to hell. I grieve or mourn in their separation from everlasting life, that they were victims. But I also wonder how many Christians had the opportunity to bear witness or minister to these individuals but refused to do so because right. of who or what they were. I remember, and I'll, really quick, I remember I was standing on the corner. I was a teenage, late teen prostitute. And I was standing on the corner in Philadelphia, 3 o'clock in the morning. And there were three Christians that were street evangelists, and they were coming towards me. I put my hand in my bag and I said, if you say a word to me and I'll gut you like a fish. They immediately crossed the street to the other corner and started talking to those drag queen prostitutes. But I remember after I got saved, I thought, what if someone said that to me? Would mm-hmm. I let their threat keep me from doing what I was, what I felt like this was my mission? If this was really my mission to reach them, would I allow who or what they were or a threat to deter me from my mission? That's where I mourn. I mourn I wonder how many people haven't done what they were supposed to do.
Folks, it's because we bought into this lie that Jesus loves everybody. Folks, his love is available, but not everyone is a child of God. Not everyone is a child of God. The Bible calls them the wicked. Okay, I want you to see this. Hang on, Allison. I'll get you right in there. This is so important that we understand this. Never rejoice in their death, but rejoice in the end of the wickedness. That wickedness is no longer being spewed. I'm sorry Rob Reiner is dead without Christ. I grieve for that, but the voice has been silenced. Okay, pull this up for me. And so that you don't know, take number five at the 1 minute mark. 1 minute mark. This is unsaved Donald Trump, and keep in perspective, unsaved Donald Trump. 1 minute mark. Listen to what he says and tell me if you think he's wrong. Go ahead.
By authorities. But the president in it, he says that he suggests the deaths were related to Reiner's political activism because Mr. Reiner had, quote, Trump derangement syndrome, and that, quote, he was known to have driven people crazy by his raging obsession of President Donald J. Trump. Again, police have not released any motive for the killing. We hinted about the president's post today, and he was asked about
I don't know why I have this.
In that exchange.
This is what I'm sorry, this is the wrong clip. This is the wrong clip, all right? Again, folks, spewing atheistic beliefs. That's what's going on. I don't know why I pulled that thing up here. Come on in, Dave Allison, and then Adam.
Yeah, Coach. As much as people may have a problem with it, unfortunately, Donald Trump was speaking the truth about what was going on with Rob Reiner.
Whether we like it or not, Dave. Whether we like it or not.
And I don't see him celebrating. I don't see any celebratory context there at all. Anybody that's reading that into you have Trump, you have TDS. So I want to warn you. And Coach, here's it gets even sadder. 90% of the clergy, if they got a call from the Reiner family and said, "Would you do his eulogy and get him across the line?" They would take that.
They would. They would. And they would preach that he's in a better place and all that kind of stuff, right? Amen. Stay with me a second.
And one last comment. If you say rest in peace, and we talked about how we rest, he may be resting in peace right now, but when he wakes up, it ain't going to be good.
Amen. So I think, Jonathan, you got this in the right spot now. You think forwarded it a little bit? Okay. So listen to what Trump said. And tell me if you think he... Hey, Donald Trump is not a Christian man, all right? Go ahead.
I wasn't a fan of his at all. He was a deranged person as far as Trump is concerned. He said he knew it was false. In fact, it's the exact opposite, that I was a friend of Russia, controlled by Russia. You know, it was the Russia hoax. He was one of the people behind it. I think he hurt himself in career-wise. So he became like a deranged person, Trump derangement syndrome. So I was not a fan of Rob Reiner at all in any way, shape, or form. I thought he was very bad for our country.
So the question that was posed.
Okay, boom. You can argue with him if you want to. Listen, Trump always makes it about him. Trump derangement syndrome, right? Rob Reiner was an atheist. We grieve he died without Christ. We grieve over that. Adam, come on in.
Hey, Coach, I agree with everything everyone's saying. We should not celebrate the death of Rob Reiner. But what people keep saying is oh, we need to pray for the peace of his family. No, we need to pray for the salvation
of
the people that are left in his family, because without that, they're going to perish in the same way. They're all going to go to hell without Jesus.
Amen. Hey, I grew up loving Rob Reiner. Didn't you guys all in the family? I mean, it was great. It was great, right? Huh? But folks, that doesn't give him the right to poison the minds of children, is what we see going on. Dr. Paul.
Hey, Coach, a couple of things. We don't know when he got, slashed, what his last words were. So we actually, it's kind of like the guy on the cross next to Christ, right? So we don't know that. The other thing, if he hates Christ, he ain't an atheist. That's Satanism, Coach.
That's a good point. An atheist is just somebody doesn't believe, right? Rob Reiner was probably deeper than that, wasn't he?
Oh, yes, of course he was, because he was a pseudo-intellectual, Coach. He knew everything, Coach.
Was he influencing people?
In a great deal, Coach. But, the other thing about Trump is that once he realizes that he's not the one in charge, in other words, everything that he does, that it's good, everything that he does is bad, goes through Christ, he could be redeemed, Coach. So I for everybody that hates him, he just hasn't hit rock bottom yet, Coach. And a lot of us know what that
is. We need to pray. Not just his
salvation. David knows that. David knows what rock bottom is. I love you, David.
Yeah. And hey, we could pray for the salvation of Kamala Harris too, couldn't we?
Absolutely, Coach.
Friends, don't fall under the delusion that Donald Trump is a Christian. I told you that. He doesn't even know the gospel. He can't explain the gospel. By the way, pull up number 10. Pull up number 10, Spencer. No, Jonathan. Somebody help me out here. Has Rob Reiner, not just Rob Reiner, he's in the news. Has Rob Reiner influenced young people? You getting it, Johnny, number 10? Because look, here's what the Bible says about it.
Millstone, okay, so says here's Matthew, another point.
Freeze it. It says in Matthew, it'd be better for you to put a millstone. Or Luke, David, I'm sorry. Go to Luke 17. Go to Bible Gateway, Luke 17 real quick, Johnny, if you can. I'm sorry, folks. I'm trying to make a connection here. Look, I'm trying to swim through the murky water of modern evangelicalism, okay? That's what I'm trying to do here. 17:2, Johnny. 17:2. Let's go to 1. Let's start at 1. Then said he unto the disciples, by the way, the he would be Jesus Christ. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom the offense comes, the troublemaker. Woe to the troublemaker, he says. It would be better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea, then he should offend one of these little ones. What? Was Rob Reiner driving people to the cross or away from the cross? And what does the scripture say from Jesus himself? Be better to in the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead these little ones who believe in me. So do I pull up that one you just had up there, John?
Okay, so here's another point of reference I want to show you guys is what we call a millstone. And you can see that right there in the background, that is exactly what Jesus referred to when he said, when you cause one of these little ones to sin, it would be better to have a millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the deepest ocean. And what he was talking about is causing children to sin. And you think about our society today and what they're doing to children. We call it that they're grooming children, with this LGBT stuff and this gender bending stuff and transgender stuff, all this junk they're doing to children and teaching children anti-God morals and whatnot. Well, You can pretty much bet how Messiah feels about that when he said it'd be better to have a millstone tied around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to sin. And that is what a lot of this world is doing to children. And so you can basically understand God's feeling towards that and his judgment towards that. And people that do this to children will be judged more severely. There's no doubt about that. Their only hope is to be saved and their sins will be forgiven. But if they don't, their judgment in eternity will be far, far worse when they have made children to sin and they cause children to sin like they're doing today.
Oh, so are we causing children to sin? In our culture, in our society, are we causing children to sin, teaching them about transgenderism, feels good, do it, and all kinds of... Hang on. Before I get you in it, Craig, I'll get you in just a second. Pull up number 9. Because, see, we're not allowed to even call anything wicked anymore. Not even... This is really brief. I'll put it in the chat. You figure it out. Guys. See, here's what I struggle with. They pull clips out of here. When I do this, they pull clips out of here and make me say things out of context. You understand? So I got to be careful what I really say here. Are there wicked people? Are there wicked people? What is wicked? 7 characteristics of a wicked person. Bible talks about wicked. Hang on a minute. Pull up number 7 real quick. Come on now. Come on. Or number 6. Pull up 6 of the 7, Johnny. Evil and wicked people. Scroll down. How many quotes are there about wicked people? Wicked people. Wicked people. Wicked people. Hang on. Is Rob Reiner wicked? Wicked. Wicked. Look at that. Wicked. 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 Wait a minute. Gee-miny, criminy. How about number, is that number 7? Or is that number 6, Johnny? I'm looking at my chart when I keep saying these numbers to him. Okay, so hang on now. death of the wicked. What was number 7? Pull it up. What's the Bible say about the death of the wicked? Hang on. I grieve that Rob Reiner didn't know Jesus. God is just, all right? Look at these verses about the wicked. They spend their days in prosperity and suddenly they go down into Sheol. Go to the next one. The east winds carry him away and he is gone, for it whirls him away from his Bible verses. A man who hardens his neck after much reproof will suddenly be broken beyond remedy. All around terrors frighten him and harry him at every step. His strength is famished. A calamity is ready at his side. His skin is devoured by disease. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. Folks, wicked, wicked, wicked. So the death of the wicked is sad because they didn't receive Christ. That's what we ought to be mourning about. But if he wasn't going to receive Christ, oh boy, I'm all over the place here. Go back to number 9 and I'm going to let you jump in here. 7 characteristics of a wicked person. Scroll down real quick. Number 1. Keep going. Number 1. Pride and entitlement is one of the first signs of a wicked person. Going down. There's a lot of verse. Oh, a hardened heart. Wow. Signs of a hardened heart. Stay there. Persistent pride, refusal to take responsibility, dismissing correction or wisdom, justifying harmful behavior, manipulating or twisting the truth. Oh, yeah. Going down. What's the next one? Wicked person. Signs of, deceptive and manipulative. It's a wicked person. Number 4. What does the Bible say about it? Look at all those verses about it. Look at all that. Like a coating of silver dross on earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. A heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? The scripture says. While evildoers and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. They conceive trouble and give birth to evil. Their womb fashions deceit. Number 4, cruelty and lack of empathy. Boom, going down. Characteristics of a wicked person. High conflict and divisive. Number 6, you ain't getting this in your church. justification and refusal to acknowledge wrong. That's, by the way, that's what repentance is, right? You confess, you admit and confess. Number seven, wicked men are schemers. Wow. Wow. See, we're taught in modern Christianity that the wicked just are, you know, love them and love them. Yeah. We rejoiced over the death of Hitler. We rejoiced over the death of, what was his name, the guy over there in the Middle East? Come on, Hussein. We rejoiced over his death, didn't we? Didn't we rejoice over that? Come on, Craig.
Well, my perspective on this is he was taken by the very thing he denied. In other words, the spirit realm, that he believed that man, you know, was his own God. And so maybe.
Clearly, hey, Craig, clearly oppressed or possessed by demons. Clearly. Go ahead.
Correct. So, he couldn't really deal with it in a way that needed to be dealt with because it was a spiritual thing.
Because a natural man received not the things of the Lord, neither can he, because they're spiritually discerned. So he didn't have the Holy Spirit, and so therefore he, well, we saw how he acted. Go ahead, sorry.
Right, well, he didn't have the tools. So I don't know if Jonathan can pull in what I put in there. There's a link about A and B counseling, and he could pull that up. So it's talking about the spirit, that this is a spiritual issue. These are counselors that are dealing with people of addiction. There's a spirit of addiction, okay? And so since he denies that there's no source, that he's a created being. And then maybe Jonathan could pull up Jeremiah 5:17-5, and we could just read this passage, because this talks about it. And the thing is, it talks about cursed is the man.
Okay. Jeremiah 17:5, John.
Yeah, Jeremiah 17:5, and I put it in New King James because I think it reads a little easier. But it starts out, it says, cursed is the man. In other words, God didn't curse him. He cursed himself because he denied the things of God. Okay, by all accounts, if you talk to the people that really were around him, I mean, this was a kind of a nice man to be around. I mean, he'd be the guy that would help someone in his lunch. So when we think of wickedness, we think of the worst of the worst, okay? And right. In a certain degree, we're applying that, and it can get misconstrued to someone who hears that. But the thing is he's denying the things and the authority of God in his life. And unfortunately, because he did that, it ended up overtaking him, and he lost his life that way. So maybe
by the way, Craig, I find it interesting. It says, thus says the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man. He was an atheist. Cursed be the man who trusts man and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. I didn't say he was cursed. The Bible said he's cursed. Go ahead, Craig.
No, I mean, you can read it. I mean, he was trusting. Okay, we're trusting in the programs to get you out of addiction, and they have good aspects to it, because some of the things that they associate are truth. But at the core, it will not remove the demonic spirit that's in the person. That's going to have to be through a deliverance. Amen. and an acknowledgement and a rebuking of that spirit, too.
So, Craig, I would say this. Hey, heaven forbid, because we all have children. Some of us have prodigals. What kind of environment is created in that home where you would cut your father's throat? Folks, you think that's normal? You think that's normal? Cut your mother's throat? They said that the son was getting ready to transition. Folks, can't you see the demonic all over this thing? The demonic all over his philosophy, his way of life. We don't rejoice he's dead. We rejoice he didn't know the Lord. Everybody dies. And why is it wrong to say wicked get what they deserve?
Well, I don't think that's that they've chosen a path that
they have.
Ends up swallowing. So maybe we just read to 13, because I think when we apply the words of God to the situation, it takes the authority away from us, and it puts it on.
Go ahead and read it. Go ahead and read it then.
My phone's a little small, Coach.
Okay, I'll get it. What do you want me to read?
I want you to read 5 through 13.
Thus saith the Lord. Okay, this is the Lord. Hey, Michelle, this is the Lord, all right? Huh? This is the Lord. Cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, whose heart departeth from the Lord. That's Rob Reiner, by the way. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabit. Boy, we can cut that apart. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Did he trust in the Lord? And whose hope the Lord is. Cursed is the man who doesn't trust in the Lord. That's the way I'd read it. For he shall be, in some way, the man who trusts in the Lord shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreadeth out his roots by the river, shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Folks, this is the unregenerated heart of man. It's wicked, the Lord says. He provides a way of salvation so he can get rid of that wicked heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Oh, boy, he got the fruit he was planting, didn't he? Didn't he? As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatches them not, so he that gets riches, oh my, and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. Rob Reiner is a fool, according to the word.
But go to verse 14, Coach, because that's the only hope for that Rob Reiner had or any of us had.
Boom. But let me continue here. Glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed. Was that Rob Reiner? All that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. That's Rob Reiner, folks. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved. For thou art my praise. Wow. Folks, if you haven't received Christ, you're getting the same judgment as Rob Reiner. You understand that? Man's heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? Unless you think the Lord lies. Now, the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Wow, Randy, man, I only got 8 minutes. Let's roll through this. I'm sorry. Hang on. Somebody make me feel good. Say, Coach, this is good. We need to have these kind of discussions, folks, because we should, I hate to tell you this, we should rejoice in the death of the wicked. Not that they are, not rejoice that they're dead. Rejoice that their evil can go forth no more. We grieve that he didn't receive Christ, but it's a good thing when the wicked perish, I think. Go ahead, Randy.
Well, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let it be confirmed. That was Jeremiah's, that was his take on it. And then, so here's Jesus in his day. He's going to confirm just what Jeremiah wrote. He writes it in Luke 13, 1 through 5, Coach. That's his response to death. Okay, that's his response.
Luke 13, 1 through 5.
So that's my response too, Coach, by the way. I think I'm going to try to look at it like Christ looked at it. So, he's basically, he walked by people every day, didn't he, Coach? Yep. And people, some rejected him and some didn't. But, you know, it's no different today. You know, Rob Reiner, he was raised Jewish. He could at least taken up Judaism, you know, and tried to live a good life and do what's right, you know, even if he didn't believe in Christ. But he was an atheist, Coach. He made his choice. So, I mean, we got to look at it. Here's what Jesus said.
There were present at the season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said, dude, you think Rob Reiner's worse than you? Is that what you're telling me? You think Hitler's working worse than you? Huh? I tell you, bud, see, if you repent, it's going to happen to you too. It's going to happen to you too, dude, unless you repent. And you think those 18 upon whom the towers of Siloam fell and slew them, you think they were worse than you, dude? Are you kidding me? You think they were worse than you? Oh, no. But I tell you this, verse 5. I tell you, nope. But unless you repent, you'll likewise perish. See, the tragedy isn't that he's dead. The tragedy isn't that his son cut his throat. The tragedy is he didn't repent. That's the tragedy, folks. That's the tragedy. And see, Christians, we don't understand judgment and mercy. We don't understand those.
Boom.
We don't understand those. We look, mercy follows justice. When you put mercy in front of justice, no, no. You have to be convicted before you can have your sentence forgiven. This is for all Christians. Rob Reiner, Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. Hey, Betty, what master do you think Rob Reiner was serving?
Money and devil.
Yeah, come on. Come on. James Thomas, quickly. Then I'll get you back in here, Betty. I love this show because it makes us think, doesn't it?
Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall also of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen. Where did he sow, James?
This is not only to the Rob Reiners of the world and the Obamas. This is to us as well, you know?
Amen. 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 Again, I regret that he perished without knowing Christ. I don't regret that the wickedness is gone. Does that make me unchristian? Why am I saying this? Because Christians don't understand wickedness and evil. That the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And that wickedness is best dealt with when it perishes. That's the way I see it. Go, Betty.
Oh, you're nailing it, Coach.
I am. Makes us uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad that a lot of us grieve every day because, you know, while they live, we know if something happens to them, we know where they're going. So I'm not rejoicing in that. That is why it's so important to speak Jesus to these people and pray for them. You know, they are not atheists and they don't hate God. They believe, they say, and they go to church. So they think they're going to heaven, but it ain't going to get them to heaven. So these people need to repent, ask for forgiveness, and receive Jesus, be born again. I pray every day.
Folks, listen to me. Some of them are emissaries of hell. And we got to realize that. I mean, we just got to realize it. Some of them are of their father, the devil, and the works of their father, they will do. Jesus said, Judah.
Yeah, Coach, as you're on this topic, everyone seems to know the history of, I guess, Hollywood.
You got two minutes, go.
So you come into this understanding of Hollywood and what is being pulled back in terms of this veil.
Oh boy.
And for some people that, you know, that have a Trump derangement syndrome, this topic is very fascinating because this last week, obviously, Trump gave a small group of actors, he gave them what he calls the Kennedy Center Honors Medal. And what is that? So he gave it to a specific group of actors or entertainers. But in the same talk, he said, very interestingly, he said, there's no actors left in Hollywood. And you gotta ask yourself, and then the Reiner thing happened afterwards. And so they're explaining some things here behind Hollywood that has been going on for years that has been cut off. It's being cleaned out. And this is another example of showing the American people without giving them full what we call D5 or full disclosure of classified information. But once the information does come out, all these topics are all going to make sense to the American people because these things are now being inundated. It's a little bit of psychological warfare.
Yeah, we're out of time. Should we rejoice in the death of the wicked? That's the question. See you tomorrow.